TCK, we are about the Great Commission.
What do we do?
We manifest Christ in our everyday lives.
And how is that?
We preach and teach the unconditional love and grace of God.
Oh.
To the nations of the world.
And therefore?
Leading people into an intimate relationship with God.
That's purpose.
All right. Are you ready for 1 hour? Okay, so we are beginning from where we ended the last time we were here. And I'm going to talk to you about the two callings and two anointings. And I will do a recap also, because some of the things that I'm going to say, we touched them last time, but I want to emphasize some of them. So if you're taking notes, write down two callings and the two anointings. It's important for us, very, very important for us to understand how God called us, anointed us, and appointed us to manifest His glory in the earth. Okay? And it's also important to understand the relationship between kings and priests. Remember, we talked about kings and priests. So we're going to look at this team, the priest and the king, how God brings them together to conquer the earth to His glory. So we have two distinct offices and anointing in the church. It's a pity that the church has not recognized the kingly anointing. We have only recognized the priestly anointing. And in this case, when I talk about the priestly anointing, I'm talking about the fivefold ministry, okay? You can be an evangelist, you can be a prophet, you can be a pastor, you can be an apostle. I am a priest, okay? Pastor Caro is a priest, all right? So this is an office that I carry as a priest. And in the church, that office has been recognized, but kings have not been recognized, and they have not been given their place to build the kingdom together with a priest. But in the mind of God, He sees the two, the priest and the king, as a team. People, these two have to work together to promote the gospel and to conquer the earth. Are we together? So two of them, kings and priests. Now, a person may operate in both. Okay? A person may operate in both on a personal or private level. We talked about that last time. For example, Joan can start a prayer group or a generation at a place of work. And she can gather her fellow workers in the morning, every day, and pray. All right? At your school, at your college, you can find a few friends that you pray with every day, and you take care of them. Okay, so you can become a priest at a personal level. Okay, but that may not mean that you are standing in that office. You are a king, but you do priestly services at a personal level, at a small scale. Okay, but your office is a kingly office, right? And vice versa, I can, as a priest, do business. Okay. But it doesn't necessarily mean that that's my office. But I do it on the side. Right? Yeah. So, I am a priest. That's my office. I am not a businessman. I am not a king. I am not out there in the marketplace. All right? I'm not a king. But I can't have a prime minister in my church. And I and the prime minister in my church can lead a country. Okay? Because the priest and the king are now praying together, working together, and leading a country. Does it make sense? So a person may operate in both on a personal or private level. Okay, a person may be king and priest in his own house, workplace. And you may lead a Bible study at your place of work or at your business and help your employees to find God. But in the local church, kings and priests are two separate offices that serve as a team to carry out the work we were commissioned to do, advancing and establishing the kingdom of God in the world. Amen? Is that clear? All right. So, who is a king? Who is a king? Now, we're going to look at 8 descriptions of the Old Testament kings, how they operated, the characteristics of these men. Number 1, 2 of the primary purposes of the Old Testament kings were: 1, to rule over God's people. Kings were to rule over God's people. Number 2, to lead them into battle against the enemy. They were to rule over God's people and to lead them into battle against the enemy. Number 2, God always went with faithful kings. Please note that down. I'll come back to that. God always went out with faithful kings into battle and assured them of his victory. Notice the character, the values, the commitment, and faithfulness of the king determined the victory. Okay, we'll come back to that. Please note that down. The character, the values, the commitment, the faithfulness of kings determined their victory in battle. Number 3, when faithful kings conquered the enemy, they would bring back the spoils of war, placing them in the sanctuary or in the treasury, right? Especially the portion given back to God through the priests. That's the tithe. The tithe would ensure that Israel could continue in the blessing of the Lord. Number 4, kings were the land and business owners. Okay, now we are talking about authority. We are talking about what? Authority. We are talking about an office. Kings in the Old Testament, they owned land and they owned businesses. They owned land and owned businesses. They had authority. Okay? Kings conquered and kings owned land and businesses. They entered into places and spheres where priests could not enter. And they conquered. Okay, we are looking at the Old Testament kings. Number 5, kings oversaw all of the commerce and trade. They oversaw all of the commerce and trade. They were responsible for commerce. They were responsible for trade and oversaw all that. So we are talking about authority. That is an office, overseeing commerce and trade. Number 6, they managed the nation's economy by imposing taxes and fees, and regulating weights and measures. Now, priests cannot do that. It's only the kings that determine. Okay? Priests are not in those areas. Right? So that's why we see our parliament, they sit down and determine taxes in parliament. We don't do that in church. They do it in parliament. Okay? They gather with the prime minister and they make all these decisions. And then they impose these laws on the nation. Right? Number seven, a king also had the responsibility of assuring that farmers left provisions for the poor and needy in the corners of their land. Now, this was the work of kings, to make sure that there is food for the poor. So, Lillian, as a farmer, the king had to take this responsibility to make sure that in the corners of her farm, there is food for the poor to come and pick. Are we together? So this was the work of kings. Kings in the Old Testament. Number eight. The system used to accomplish this was called gleaning, an ancient version of welfare. This is an ancient version of welfare. So they were responsible for welfare, to preserve their dignity and work ethic. Okay? So they had to make sure that this happened. Now, kings are responsible to make sure that poor people are taken care of. Now, let's go and look at the priestly office in the Old Testament. Who is a priest in the Old Testament? Number one, the primary role of the priest was to offer up prayers and sacrifices to God for the people. So as the kings are working so hard out there in the marketplace to make sure the poor are taken care of, to make sure tithe comes to the church, to make sure laws are passed, to make sure that the farmers are feeding the poor, the priests are in the church, in the temple, praying for kings and praying for the population. All right? Blessing and releasing the blessing over the kings. All right? The Johns, the managers, when they are there managing business, the priest has to be here offering prayers, interceding for them. All right? Are we together? Yeah. When the Mercies are building their hotels and restaurants, right? The administrators, the kings. Now, Wilberforce, the priest, is here interceding for Mercy, offering prayers for her. You see? So the priest is praying for the kings, and the priest is offering prayers for the population, and the kings are implementing the work. Administrators, you see, the accountants, the member parliaments, the doctors, the nurses, as they work, the business people, as they work to make sure that they build society, they build the economy, the priests are offering prayers so that God can bless. These two are working together, right? Number two, they also took care of the temple, providing maintenance and other day-to-day functions. That is what Pastor Carol does with her team here in the office. As you go out, kings, to work out there in the marketplace, she's here maintaining, okay? Doing maintenance, making sure that the worship house, the place here is beautiful, ready for kings to come and be blessed and be anointed. All right? So priests, this is our job. This is our job. That's why you find us watering the plants here, making sure the trees are alive, making sure we have paperwork, making sure that the sound is working, making sure when you come, you know, the instruments are on, electricity is paid, the worship team is here, and, you know, all of us are here waiting to serve the kings, you know, when you come back. Do you see the relationship now? Are you following? Number three, they were responsible for the acts of mercy and took care of the orphans, widows, and strangers at the gates of the temples. Do you remember the man at the beautiful gate? Yeah, the crippled man at the beautiful gate. So now when kings came back to the temple, okay, when kings came back to the temple, they found the priest or priests and they placed offerings and food and support in the hands of the priests. And these things were kept at the gate where the orphans and the widows used to come. So every time they came, the priests had to serve them. But before the priests serve the poor and the orphans, the kings must come and place support in the hands of the priests. Are we together? So that when the poor come, when the widow and the orphans come, Wilberforce has food for them, has money to take them to school. Why? Because the kings have placed support in the hands of the priest. So there are two people on the team making sure that the orphans are taken care of and the widows are protected. But the priest cannot fulfill that if he doesn't have kings with him. Right? And then the kings won't find the poor if the priest is not there to gather them. Are we together? So this is a team, unbeatable team. Kings and priests. Are we together? Yeah? So they were responsible for the acts of mercy and took care of the orphans, widows, and strangers at the gates of the temple. Number four, they were the ones who interceded on behalf of the people, offered up prayers and sacrifices for sin and atonement, and pronounced blessings over the people. Now let's go to number six. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, we read up to 27. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his son, saying, this is the way you shall go. Bless the children of Israel and say to them, the Lord bless you and do what? And keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Who is doing this? The priest. And who is he praying for and blessing? The kings, the business people, the accountants, the farmers. So that when you go out, the face of God shines upon you. This is a powerful prayer for kings. And this prayer is offered by priests. Yes? The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Where? In the marketplace. All right? Let me give you another example in Deuteronomy 20, verse 1 to verse 4. Deuteronomy 20, verse 1 to verse 4. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Now, who is proclaiming this blessing? And to who? The king who is going to battle, to fight enemies. All right? So it shall be when you are on the verge of battle that the priest shall approach and speak to the people. Right? And he shall say to them, hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid and do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. So even on battle field, there are two people. There is a king and there is a priest. In the temple, for the work to continue, there are two people. Okay? Two people on the team. There is a priest and the king. So whether we are in the temple taking care of orphans and the widows and building the temple, you know, building Faith Park and making it beautiful, you know, building a mission center, or we are on Kampala Road doing business, or we are in Chikubo doing business, you're going to find two people. There is a priest and a king. Unless we go back and identify this team and connect together, the priest and the king begin working together, we will not conquer like the Old Testament people conquered. You can see even on battle, the priest is there. That's why the pastor should visit your business and pray. The pastor should come to your office and pray. That's why you should always come and meet the priest for prayer and blessing. It's a principle. That is why you cannot eat your tithe. You must bring the tithe so that when widows and guests come at the gate, they find food. Because we are a team to conquer. We must conquer the earth. All right? Yeah. Are we together? So number five, the priest would also bless the king and his army before proceeding into battle or any other function. So the principle was, before a king and his army went for any battle or before a king went for any function, they had to come to the priest first for the blessing. Okay, now today, if a business person is going for a meeting or to sign a contract, the principle is find your teammate first. Go to your priest first, because you are two. You're working together. Pray. Trust God. Talk about it. Go and sign a contract. Before the priest goes for anything concerning the kingdom or kingdom affairs or any function, must call the kings and talk about it, because they have to finance the work. Or kings on land, kings make laws, so they have to work with a priest. As the priest receives the visions for the city, kings must give way. That is why before we built here, kings had to look at our titles. They had to give us permissions. They have authority. So kings and priests must work together. Does it make sense? Yes. That's why they come and check on us here to make sure that we keep the law. Yeah? That's their work. And so priests must work with kings. Yeah? Are we together? So number six, the power of God would go before the army and the Lord would fight the battle and deliver the enemy into the hands of kings. Listen, there's an amazing example of this that we are talking about. It's found in 2 Chronicles 20. Now, all Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children, that's verse 13, right? Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives and their children stood before the Lord. Now this is when King Jehoshaphat got to know that this great multitude of enemies, you know, that they had come to attack and destroy the kingdom. Okay, let's go to 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of a Levite of the son. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, okay? In the midst of the assembly, let's go ahead. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, who's speaking now? The priest. Now, this is a kingdom, and the kingdom is under attack. A great army had come to destroy Jehoshaphat and the whole kingdom. And the Bible says the king feared, the king trembled. Yeah? That says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed. Who's speaking now? The priest of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God is. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ancient of Aziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeol. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still. Now, the man of God is speaking. But meanwhile, the army is coming. Doom, 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 doom. Their chariots. They are coming to destroy Jehoshaphat and the kingdom. It's not a joke. There were many powerful. And now the king is quiet because the priest has to speak fast. The priest had to speak fast. The Spirit of the Lord had to speak fast. So the king was quiet. So there is a time when the priest has to speak and the king has to be quiet. And then there is a time when the king begins to speak. When does the king speak? When does the king rise up to start the journey or to start the war or to start a business? Is when the priest is quiet. So he begins to speak and says, tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. That enough. That word is powerful. Once the king hears it, you're ready to go. That word, go, the Lord is with you. 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 Take that. Take that word. It's powerful. From the mouth of the priest. It's a principle. These two work together. Okay? Yes. That is 17, right? So now we have seen the priest speaking. But the priest is speaking at a time that was so difficult. When you read the whole chapter, you're going to find that by the time the priest is speaking, Jehoshaphat is shaking. The king was afraid. All right? Verse 20 up to 24. Now, so they rose early in the morning, just like the priest declared. They rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, when did he speak? Come on, when did he speak? When the priest had spoken. Kings don't speak until they hear God. Kings don't move until they hear God. Remember what we said. I go back to what I said. The character, the faithfulness, the values, principles of kings determined their victory. Are we together? Because we don't work like the children of the world. Can I say that again? Remember what we said? The character. Kings must build character. They need to know when they are quiet. They have to be quiet. They need to know when they have to sit down. They need to know when they have to rise up. Because you're financing the kingdom, it doesn't mean you're going to have the front seat. Have some character. You understand? It's not your money that gives you a position in the church. Because you're the biggest giver, it doesn't mean you're going to tell the priest what to do. Character. Some people, when they begin to finance the kingdom and God promotes them and God blesses them, they think now the whole church is under their armpits. No. Some character. Build character. It's character, values, principles, okay, that determine your victory in the marketplace. You must learn the principles. So, all along, you read the whole chapter. You're gonna realize where Jehoshaphat was. It was terrible. It was terrible. It was a great multitude. It was bigger than his army. It was terrible. It was a bad time. It was a crisis. But he never said a word. He sat down. He was quiet until Jehoshaphat spoke, the priest. And after the priest speaking, by God, because kings have to wait for God to speak. Kings don't move. Kings don't speak until they hear God. All right? So now, after God spoke, Jehoshaphat stood up and also spoke after what God had spoken. So, now I'm showing you how they succeeded and how they conquered, because we have to conquer. We have to prosper everywhere we go. Amen? So, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God." Now the king is speaking because he knows what God has spoken. Okay? So he says, "Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, the priests, and you shall prosper." So, which means this is a principle, a team. For a king to prosper, the priest has to be there. For the priest to prosper, the king has to be there. So this is why he says, believe his prophets, believe his priests, and you shall prosper. It's a principle. It's a principle. Yeah. Wow. Everyone say wow. Now these are secrets. These are secrets. Now there are certain things. Now I believe in prayer and fasting. I pray a lot. I fast a lot. In fact, I live a fasted life. Those that are close to me know I live a fasted life. So now understand what I'm going to say. But fasting and prayer alone won't do business for you. You will fast and pray and stay poor if you don't apply the right principles. You can fast and pray and pray and stay poor if you don't apply the right principles. So note this. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. It's a condition. It's a condition. All right? Which verse is that? 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should go who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Where are they picking all this? From what the priest said. Now it looks crazy. The priest says, "You go. You're going to sign the contract. It's yours." Yes, at all? Yes. The Lord has spoken. So this army is coming with chariots, with weapons of mass destruction. And City Church Kampala. fronts the worship team and they begin to sing and worship. They looked crazy. But God had spoken. When God speaks, you just go and do what he says. So now they began to sing and to praise the Lord and to praise. The Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Okay, next verse. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir and utterly killed and destroyed them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So the enemies began to kill each other. The armies that came to attack Jehoshaphat began to kill each other. Why? Because the unbeatable team was at the battlefield. The unbeatable team, the priest and the king were there. Unbeatable team. Nobody can overcome this team. The priest and the king. The businessman and the pastor. Yeah. The people in the marketplace and the priest. No one can beat them, those two, if they work together. Amen? Wow. Everyone say, wow. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. May God give you victory. 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 May God give you success. May you buy, may you sell in the name of Jesus. May you possess, may you build in the name of Jesus. May you graduate. Yes, may your star shine brighter than others in the name of Jesus. May you receive your promotion in the name of Jesus. May your star shine brighter in the name of Jesus. May God give you wisdom to carry the honor of God and the glory of God in the marketplace. Receive your promotion in the name of Jesus. Prosper in your business in the name of Jesus. May you increase. May you see the goodness of the Lord in the marketplace. Amen. All right. So now I'm talking about offices. I'm talking about offices. I'm talking about the priest, the office of the priest, and the office of the king. Those offices carry authority. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Now, briefly, let me show you the modern day kings. Because now we've been looking at the Old Testament. Okay? So, let's look at the modern day king. As it is throughout history, kings were assigned the responsibility for waging war and taking ground for their kingdoms. Let's go to Genesis chapter 13, verse 15. God spoke to Abraham here, okay? God told Abraham, and he said, "For all the land which you see, I give to you. And your descendants forever." Now, God is speaking to kings. He's speaking to a king here. And he says, "For all the land you see, I give to you. You and your descendants forever. Your seed forever." He told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 verse 3. Joshua chapter 1 verse 3. "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you." As I say to Moses, he's speaking to a king, a ruler. Amen. Psalms 2, verse 8. Now, we receive these anointings from Jesus, because Jesus is king and priest. All of us, all these offices flow. He gives them. and he can't give what he doesn't have. Okay? So all these offices come from Christ. Now, the Father speaks to the Son, ask of me and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Okay? Kings receive this. Now, today, we have this same principle with the modern day kings. Now, listen to this. Who is a modern day king? The anointed marketplace ministers. God is still very much interested in his people possessing the land and every sphere of influence. Now, who is a modern day king? A business person. As an accountant, you are a king. If you are a banker, you are employed to work in the bank, you are a king. A public school teacher, you are a king. An accountant, you are a king. So now I'm talking to kings here. You are a king. So all the things we have looked at from the Old Testament, they apply in your life. Are you here? Are you hearing me, Kate? You are a king in training. So you are the modern day king. Remember, kings own land. Yeah, and they determine prices. So we are talking about kings now that are in operation. As an accountant, you're a king. You determine figures. You're a king. You determine the future and the journey of the company. And is that mistake? They are down. They are gone. So you see, they are in your hands. You rule. You rule that world. Yeah? Yes. So the economy is in your hands. You determine how much taxes should be paid by the company, right? Yeah. So you are the modern day king. Yeah? Are we together? So I'm talking to kings, modern day kings. Mm-hmm. So the earth is part of the territory that belongs to the kingdom of God. And again, his kingdom rules over all, everything. Let's go to Psalms 24 verse 1 and see what it says. Psalms 24 verse 1. Now, you have to have this in perspective, okay? The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. So you got to make sure that God takes more territory. That's what she said. She said the main purpose of her life now is to evangelize as she does her business. Because we want God to conquer. We want God to own. Revelation 1 verse 6. Revelation 1 verse 6. And has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever. And he has made us what? Kings and priests. He didn't say he has made us kings. Or he has made us priests. He says he has made us kings and priests. So we have these offices coming together as a team to conquer the world. Amen. So we got to develop a conquering mindset. Everywhere we go there to do what? To conquer for God. We must have that mindset. Stand on your feet and raise your hands and declare this. Raise your hands and say, I go out to conquer. Come on, declare that. Come on, declare. Come on, speak. I go out to conquer. Come on, declare that. Speak that. I go out to conquer. I go out to conquer. Come on, go ahead and declare. Speak like a conqueror. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap your hands and sit down. So in this day and time, kings could be people from any walk of life. Number one, they could be people from the entertainment industry, social services, or medical fields. Are you with me? Number one, they could be people from the entertainment industry, social services, or medical fields. Number two, they could be the skilled laborers like carpenters, electricians, or even stay-at-home parents. Did you realize that? Because when you are at home raising your children as a mother, you are raising kings and priests at home. That little boy you are raising, maybe that guy is going to be a prime minister. You are raising a king or a president. Yeah? Praise God. So you are a modern day king. Praise God. Now, occupation makes no difference, because whoever is not a priest is automatically a king. So when you wake up every day and go out to study, okay? When you go out to work, your place of work, when you go out to the, you are a king. Anyone that wakes up in the morning and goes out to work is a king. So have a conquering mindset. You go out every day to conquer. May God bless you as you go out, and may God bless you as you come in. You go out to do what? To conquer. You are a king. If you wake up and you go and punch in and punch out, you are a king. If you wake up and go sell tomatoes in the market, you are a king. If you go out, proceed, and buy fruits and sell them, you are a king. So have a conquering mindset. Make sure that you have a big vision. The Bible, God said to Abraham, as a king, I'll give you the land you see. Joshua, everywhere the sole of your foot will tread, I'll give it to you. So how much do you see as a king? Do you want only to sell fruits, or one day you want to have a processing plant of juice? You must have a conquering mindset. When we came in this community, we came with a conquering mindset, because our church is full of kings. Came here and said, we're going to conquer. And we're still conquering. Yes. Still conquering. We came in a place where the government couldn't come, and now they are coming after us, because we have kings here and priests that mean business. We are doing things intentionally. We think, we plan, we have a mindset. We conquer. So we have to have a conquering mindset. Yeah? Don't think small, think big. Let us not only think about Utabika, think Uganda. What can we do for Uganda? How can we change this nation? And then let's go to Africa. Yeah? Very soon, we'll touch Sudan. So I am giving you every square inch of the land you set your foot on, just as I promised Moses. I give it to you. So you wake up in the morning, think it, see yourself. Don't just walk, Mama Yanzali, that you know. You must be intentional. Amen? Yes. Praise God. Amen. Are you with me? Yeah. Can I show you modern day priests and then we have a break? Number one, priests in the New Testament are those who are in the fivefold ministry, full-time ministers. Fivefold ministry. Modern day priests. Priests in the New Testament are those who are in the fivefold ministry. Apostles, pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists. Fivefold ministry. Number two, they are, of course, the apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, referred to as ministry gifts given to the body of Christ. Let's go to Ephesians 4, verse 11. And I think we go to up to verse 14. Yeah? And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints, kings, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, no, look at this. Let's go. Let's first go back. For the equipping of what? Now he's talking about the priests. Equipping who? The saints. The saints are the kings. And he says, for the work of ministry. Now, you notice this. He says, these offices, the priests that we talked about, the apostles and teachers and prophets and evangelists, their work is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So now, where do we do the work of ministry? No. We do the work of ministry in the hospital. Let's go back. I thought so many years ago that we do the work of ministry in the church, in the four walls. No. The work of ministry is done in the hospital. In the marketplace. That's where the work of ministry is. On the farms. Yeah? In the saloon. Beauty shops. And he himself gave some to be what? Apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Where are these? These are priests. Okay, where are they? In the four walls, right? That's why every time you come, you find us here. Yeah? Every time you come, you find us here because we are in the four walls. So what is our work in the four walls? Let's go ahead. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, this is the work of the priestly office anointing. We are talking about two anointings, priestly anointing and kingly anointing. Now, the work of the priests that we have talked about in verse 11 is to equip, is to build kings. And when we build kings, why are we building kings? Why are we building kings? Why am I building you now? Because this is my work, is to equip kings for the work of ministry. So where do we do the work of ministry? Within the four walls? The marketplace. Now, who does the work of ministry? Kings. That's why she said that when she begins her business, the purpose is to preach the gospel. But what we do is we tell everybody, please join the choir. Please join the... Not everyone should be in the choir. Not everyone should be in the ushering. No. Most of you must stay outside the four walls. But you must remember you were a team. You need a priest with you. You can't be out there and conquer without a priest. So our Our work, my work, is to equip you for the work of ministry. And the work of ministry happens in the hospital, in schools, in city council, you know, those places where you live every day. You are the people to do the work of ministry. But you must have a priest to equip you. All right? Yeah, you remember Jehoshaphat did the work of ministry in the battle after the priest had spoken. Yeah? Yes, Abraham did the work of ministry because he was connected to Melchizedek. Yeah? All right, 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, manifesting Christ in our everyday life. What are we about? In our everyday life. Into that's the fullness of Christ. Yeah? That it might develop until we all attain oneness. This is better. Oneness is better than unity. Oneness, in fact, the meaning of unity in King James is oneness when you study. In the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ and the completeness found in him. So kings must arrive there. Praise God. Woo, 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 woo. Amen. Okay. Today's priests still have the responsibility of caring for the house of God, for receiving tithe, all right, and for warning and informing the people of God for what is coming or what God is saying today. That's the work of the priests. Next, in Amos 3, verse 7. Amos 3, verse 7. Surely the Lord God would do nothing without revealing his secrets to his servants, the prophets. So now, we still have this responsibility. We still have this what? Responsibility to tell people, because God will not do anything without revealing it to the priest. We saw that in the Old Testament, you know, the things we've looked at in the Old Testament. So my point is this: as a king, you must have a priest, and a priest must have a king for us to succeed out there in the marketplace. And my next point that I want to emphasize is, I want you to know and think and operate as a king, not as a slave. You are not there for a paycheck. You're there to rule your world. Don't have a mindset of a paycheck. No, have a mindset of a king. How much territory do you want? Don't settle for less. Think big. Be aggressive out there. Amen? Yeah. Don't go for paychecks. Don't. No. Think big. You must acquire more land. Why? Because our kingdom must conquer. We are conquering for the kingdom. Amen? We are conquering for the kingdom.